One of the most important, if not the most important thing a VFR pilot can learn to do well is to look outside their aircraft. It sounds simple, doesn't it, just looking out? But that seeming simplicity can be a problem because some pilots treat lookout somewhat casually, especially in this era of increasingly clever cockpit technology. But there's a heap of skills behind looking out effectively, as you'll hear from four of the most experienced instructors in the country. This is Vector Online. I'm Pen Mackay, and you're listening to the audio article, Why a Good Lookout is So Critical. Chief Flying Instructor of North Shore Aero Club and ACAT, Daryl Gillett, says lookout is paramount among situational awareness skills.
In the VFR environment, really the only true way to avoid other aircraft is to see them so that you can then make a plan and manoeuvre accordingly. Sure, listening out, the use of traffic advisory systems, etc., they will improve situational awareness, no doubt about it. But what we have to do is we have to remember that there are pitfalls, there are traps, there are disadvantages to relying totally on the radio or relying totally on traffic advisory systems.
And while radio calls are obviously important, lookout is even more so.
Like there might be an auto aircraft operating, the aircraft might be on the wrong frequency or, you know, not making radio calls at all. And of course, inaccurate radio calls are pretty commonplace as well.
Despite good lookout being critical, Daryl says they're dealing with conflict in the North Shore circuit literally on a daily basis. He puts at least some of that down to poor lookout, which would not surprise ACAT and ASPEC examiner Dave Brown. He's failed CPL candidates because of their poor lookout.
Someone who's got 220 hours or around that sort of number, it always puzzles me a bit how they've managed to get through so many flying hours with such a terrible lookout, and obviously the only answer is the big sky principle. The big sky out there, and relatively there's not that many aeroplanes, and clearly a lot of people rely on that.
Dave Brown says the big sky principle starts to lose effect around busy aerodromes or transit lanes, where the amount of sky between aircraft diminishes. At North Shore, Daryl Gillett puts down some of the obviously poor lookout he's witnessing in occurrences to over-reliance on tech, something ACAT and CEO of Christchurch Helicopters, Terry Murdoch, warns all pilots to be aware of.
Even I get tied up with the technology. You have these lovely screens all sitting in there telling you all sorts of stories and pictures and things. And it is mesmerizing to actually look at those screens rather than looking out the window. So, yeah, I think that balance is super important to be able to, rather than stare at screens, to be looking out the window. So you do the 70-30 rule where you're 70% looking out the front and 30% looking inside. If it's not important to be looking inside all the time, it should be 90% outside and 10% inside. In terms of that technology, it's fantastic with ADS-B finding other aircraft that you can't see and you see them on the screen, and then you can look in that direction to where they are and pick them up on a visual basis. But you've got to be very careful not to rely upon that, because relying upon that technology, which I found personally myself, you know, not everybody has their ADS-B turned on. And so if you think that if you look at your screen, you'll see where all the traffic is and you don't have to look out, then it's a huge mistake, because one, it's not mandatory outside of controlled airspace. Outside of controlled airspace, then you're relying upon the fact that someone's going to have it turned on, and they may not. Also, the other people may not have ADS-B in, so they may not see you either. So, look, it's a great backup, but it's actually only a backup. That's all it is.
Another feature of a poor lookout is the box tick. Quick glance up, nah, nothing there. Terry Murdoch has also failed students for performing the box tick lookout.
No point in doing a lookout if you're just looking out the window. Look out the window to find something and see something. Because again, you know, if you get people, you know, when I do flight tests and I say, if you had a good lookout, and they go, yep, I've looked. And I've said, well, what have you looked for? And, you know, I'm looking for that aircraft that I heard on the radio before. Can you show me where it is? And they've had their lookout, but they haven't looked for anything.
Daryl Gillett has a similar story about a CPL candidate.
I asked a candidate to do a steep turn, whatever way it was, and they looked out before the turn. So the candidate rolled into the turn, and then halfway through the turn, we went into a cloud. And then we popped out, and then we carried on turning. And I said, well, what happened there? And they said, oh, we went into cloud service. Okay, that's interesting. Is that appropriate or should we have done that? Oh, no, we shouldn't have done it. Okay. All right, well, show me another one. And then they did the same thing. I obviously made sure they didn't fly into cloud the second time. But the same thing occurred twice. So the point there was that the candidate was performing a lookout just for the sake of it.
Dave Brown also says lookout is often sacrificed when the pilot becomes too task-focused.
The classic with this is, say, forced landings, where you get an inch of failure. And the sole point of focus really is the paddock they're going for, and they're oblivious to anything else around the platform. So they're just turning the aeroplane around this paddock, no lookout as such. And I've had several cases on flight tests where I've actually had to take control to take avoiding action on another aeroplane because the candidate just was oblivious to it all. They were just so focused on the paddock and trying to get in on a forced landing that they just load-shed everything else.
Well, enough of what a poor lookout is like. What makes a good one? Dave Brown says it starts with a slow, methodical scan.
You should spend 2 seconds looking at every 20-degree sector. Like if you scan from the right wing tip to the left wing tip, if you break it down into 20-degree segments, that would be 9 20-degree segments to do the 180 degrees. So to do a proper scan from wing tip to wing tip, where in fact, you know, you're actually scanning from, you know, behind the wing, round to behind the wing, you know, well, that's somewhere between 20 and 25 seconds to do that scan effectively. That's what the experts say. It's all about giving your eyes time to refocus. If you just look out at the right wing tip, for example, and your eyes will focus out there, and then you just move your head quickly around to the left wing tip, the focal length of your eyes will just remain the same, and you actually, you'll just go past things that are at a different distance.
A-category instructor Penny Mackay agrees lookout is not done with just a quick turn of the head, particularly in a Cessna.
There's huge problems with those high wings. I love them to bits, but it means, especially doing things like overhead joins, you need to do 90-degree turns only, level the wings, have a good look around, lift the wing slightly to look where that wing is when you're looking left or right, so just raising it slightly in that direction. And don't just look with your eyes, look with your head and your whole body as well. And lean forward, especially when you're turning. And I would say don't do an overhead join with anything but just 90 degree turns in a sort of box pattern. So what you need to do is straight line, having a good look out, then turn 90 degrees, look out from, say, right all the way around to left, turn again, level your wings, you know, just 90 degree turns all the way around.
Penny Mackay thinks not many pilots are properly taught where to look in an overhead join.
If you're the one that's joining overhead, especially when you're crossing the threshold at 1,000 feet ready to join downwind, you need to check underneath for aircraft that are taking off and climbing out on the crosswind leg. So you need to look right at the crosswind leg, not only right to the extended downwind where traffic's joining. The other thing is that if you are the aircraft in the circuit and you happen to be crosswind, again, people tend to look at the extended downwind, but you don't look left to see who's joining over the threshold. And that's the big problem because that's where the aircraft are coming together at 1,000 feet. So really important for aircraft already in the circuit to look left for aircraft that might be joining. Otherwise, you might arrive at the downwind position together.
Penny says that at any point you're not happy with where an aircraft is in the circuit, get out. She says she's had her own experiences of not being absolutely sure of another aircraft's location. Her radio calls have gone unanswered and she's become very uneasy. She's just left the circuit. She advises, trust your instincts. If in doubt, get out. Dale Gillett says some pilots become fixated about where they believe other aircraft will always be. He says the most dangerous aircraft is the one you're not expecting from the direction you're not expecting.
What I do see a lot of is people looking outside but looking straight ahead. And that's no good. Most of the time, aircraft aren't coming from straight ahead. And if they are, because people are the majority of the time looking straight ahead of the aircraft, that's not normally an issue. And I think the statistics pretty clearly show that, if I'm not wrong. Most mid-air collisions or near misses are where aircraft have come from the side, and especially where aircraft are climbing and descending and turning and that sort of thing. So other aircraft are normally where you might not expect them to be, or, you know, where you can't see, blind spots, that sort of thing.
Dave Brown, who's also an aerobatic instructor and CFI for New Zealand Warbirds, says aerobatic lookout really hones pilot skills.
When you start doing aerobatics, you need to be looking everywhere that the aeroplane's going. So, you know, what I teach is, like if you're diving down to enter into a loop, you would have done a lookout manoeuvre first. So your lookout manoeuvre should be above, below and around the aeroplane. So a whole three-dimensional lookout. And remembering that, you know, when you're pulling G, the aeroplane's going where the lift vector's pointing, so, and that's at the top of your head. So once you actually start the manoeuvre, so you've dived down to get the entry speed for a loop, before you pull up, then you should actually look up. And that's why even, you know, 152s and aerobats and things, they have clear panels in the roof of the aeroplane, as opposed to the, you know, the solid roofs that a normal 152 will have. So you can see, you look above you to see where you're going, because there might be someone just flying across the top of you that you're about to have a close encounter with. And that's the same, you know, through your whole manoeuvre, you need to be looking where the aeroplane's going. And that is, as I say, it's pretty much three-dimensional. And a lot of people, again, are just used to this wingtip-to-wingtip sort of lookout that they've got used to in their training.
Daryl Gillett also says turning the aircraft regularly, such as in an S formation, will aid lookout as well, checking behind the aircraft. Other aircraft are not the only thing a VFR pilot should be looking out for, as Penny Mackay explains.
Look out for the terrain around you. And when I mention wind in a minute, the terrain is quite closely associated with wind and the effects that you're likely to get with wind from the terrain. Birds, often our bad vis or low flying is around the seashore, and you do need to be very aware of birds. And possible forced landing without power areas, because if you're low, you don't have much time to react to that. So thinking ahead as to where you could go if you have problems with your engine. And as I said, I'd come back to wind, because I think this is a major one with bad vis and low flying, in that you've got to be very aware of your drift. Is the wind pushing you towards terrain? It's good for forced landings as well, to give you an idea of which direction you're likely to land. And as I said, all the possible problems caused by wind going over terrain or trees and things like that.
And Daryl Gillett says drones are becoming yet another hazard pilots must increasingly be on the alert for. All the ACATs say the primary responsibility for making sure pilots practice good lookout lies with their first instructors. And Dave Brown says that showing students how to do a good lookout is just the beginning.
So what we see a lot of on instructor-issue flight tests is that, particularly CCATs, is that they're not watching what the student is doing. And obviously we, as the examiners, you know, we will, you know, assume the role of a student for some of the exercises, so they can fold and analyse what we're doing, and we can show them, you know, common student errors and all that sort of stuff. We'll see if they can pick them up. You sit there and do a good lookout while they're talking, and a sneaky lookout, and then when they give us control, we just stare straight out the front and do a 360-degree turn. You know, a lot of them won't even pick up that we have moved our head, and that's because they're not actually monitoring the student.
Terry Murdoch is a helicopter instructor and says helicopter pilots have the least excuse of any pilots to not do a good lookout because of the amount of clear perspex in their aircraft. And he tells his graduate students the responsibility for maintaining their good early standards of lookout is entirely on them.
Those soft skills saves their lives, not how good they are at doing emergency procedures and all the rest of it, because they've got to be good enough at those to pass the test. But those soft skills, one of them situational awareness, the other one is lookout, which is really, really important, and risk management, you know, so if you've, and threat and error management. So threat, error and management, lookout, risk management, situational awareness are super, super important in the circuit. And if you can get those things right, everything else falls into place.
You've been listening to the Victor Online audio article, Why a Good Lookout is So Critical. I'm Pen Mackay. Thanks for listening.